Hi, and welcome to the Macro Show. We talk macro and try to make sense of markets that just chase themselves higher. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter. Today, we're going to talk about why the Fed needs more QE. Well, a number of you linked an article on Twitter from Zero Hedge that talked about how JP Morgan believes there needs to be more QE. And I thought, what a great topic for today's show. And here it is. Here comes more Fed easing. JP Morgan expects the Fed to extend QE maturity in December meeting. Why? Because they're not monetizing enough debt. And if they don't do it, oh no, treasury yields are going to go higher. And yet, for some reason, JP Morgan misses the most obvious thing there could be, is this chart here that shows the federal debt inverted against 10-year treasury yields, because suddenly, I don't know why, but JP Morgan's analysts must believe that more debt equals higher interest rates, and yet there's no absolutely evidence of that anywhere in the data. There's nothing that shows that interest rates will go higher due to more debt. In fact, if anything, it says more debt, which we already know, is deflationary. And we can see it in that chart that I just showed you. So what is the market trying to tell you? What is the bond market trying to tell you right here? Do we not have enough QE? Is that the problem? Do we just need more QE? Do we have too much debt? Is that the issue? No, it's telling you there isn't enough economic growth. You know, the bond market is looking forward and saying, look, it's not the problem isn't QE. The problem is partially the debt. There's no question about that. It isn't the vaccine. It isn't this. It isn't that. What it's telling you is there is no global growth coming. And the growth that the stock market expects, which we can see. So you know, now we ask questions, what is the stock market expecting? It's expecting just some massive surge of unbelievable growth coming. In fact, so much growth that the market is acting as if the economy is going to be better than it was before the pandemic this year, better than it was in 2019, and better than it was in 2018, where the downturn actually started. And so all the bond market is telling us is, look, all this growth that the equity market thinks is coming, it's not coming. And it's forward looking into the data and saying it's not there. That's why interest rates are low. And that's why interest rates are headed lower, because the structural problems in the global economy are not turning into growth. And even if all these things get fixed, we're not going to see growth. The answer isn't more QE. There are fundamental issues, and we know this. We see this in the data. Now, why do we again go over this data on Friday, the H.8? Because it tells us, you know, if you want to find economic growth, you're going to find it in the credit markets. And what do you see in at least table one, which we never look at, but the percentage change at the break adjusted, seasonally adjusted for an annual rate, what's the fastest growing part of the bank's balance sheet? Well, it's mortgage-backed securities. But look at everything else. Negative, negative, small number, negative, 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 small numbers. I mean, there's just no growth. And that's part of what the bond market is telling you. It's saying, hey, if you're fixated on a vaccine, fixing all these problems, that's not it. If you think it's more QE, that's not it. There's structural problems that are not creating credit growth. We're seeing contractions. And how do we know we're going to see further contractions and lower interest rates? Well, we've talked about that recently, and that's the Senior Loan Officer Survey. And we can see that lending standards, they tightened again in the fourth quarter data. Now, I know it looks like it went down, but as we talked about before, that this is a diffusion index. So anything above zero is just tightening. It's just tightening at a lower rate. So what we're experiencing is lending standards that are tight as they've ever been in history. And this is telling you, there's no growth. There's some structural problem in the economy where interest rates are continuing to go down because whatever's wrong isn't leading to growth. And that's why we look at the economic data, because what are we really looking for here? We're looking for growth. And where do we find it? Well, we have some data that came out of China last week on Monday or Sunday night, fixed asset investment. What is it telling us? Well, it tells you the change in total spending on non-roll capital investments such as factory roads, power grids, and properties. And look at how this chart is. It's telling you there's been a deceleration in growth since the great financial crisis. It's telling you there is a structural problem in the global economy. There's a reason interest rates have dropped. If we continue into the data from China, now industrial production is actually, it's okay, it's 6.9%. Low, or it's on the low end of the average. I'll show you where that looks like on a chart. If we zoom in and take a look at it, you can see that, yeah, it's on the bottom end of where it needs to be. It's been around this six some odd, you know, mid high 6% number for years. That's not what China needs for growth. It needs big numbers. Not seeing it. Again, structural problems that aren't solved by more quantitative easing. How about retail sales? You know, 4.3% in the United States is a big number. How about in China? It's actually not that great. Let's pull this up and take a look. And you can see at 4.3, it's well off where it was in the sevens going before the pandemic, which was decelerating since 2010. Again, structural problems in the global economy. And we continue to look, how about in South Korea? Well, they're a major export nation. And their preliminary exports on a year-over-year basis came in at -3.8. That's not the growth the stock market is expecting. In fact, it's telling you the exact opposite of saying, hey, there's a problem out here that's not being priced in by the equity markets. And we can zoom in and look at this. And when you see numbers that are negative, it's telling you that, hey, there's a problem. And those numbers started falling back in 2018. And we can see the last time they were running a negative, we almost had a recession in 2016. And you can see consistently across the board, low numbers or negative numbers in exports is not a positive thing. It's telling you structural issues in the economy. Same with the preliminary import data at -5.6%. Are we seeing growth? The answer is no. We're not seeing it at all. Let's move into the Monday data. You know, where do we see anything here? Italian CPI stuck at -0.3%. Deflationary. Problems in the economy. How about the New York Empire State Manufacturing Index? Well, it rose. This is a diffusion index at 6.3, but at a really slow rate. So again, we're seeing growth stalling out everywhere we look. That's why, my friends, we look at the economic data every week, is to find out, is there something that's going to create some growth that's going to change this downward trend in yields that are more likely to head lower than they are higher? And the solution isn't, you know, all these things, you know, that we talk about in the show are just added bonuses. The speculative positioning is a bonus. The QE is a bonus. The debt is a bonus that leads to lower interest rates, because it's telling you something is wrong with the global economy. And if you, there's another way to look, this is a chart I don't think I've ever shown you. And this takes a look at the average weekly hours of production and non-supervisory employees, the average hourly earnings of those employees, and what's the last one here? And the number of employees. This is the total payroll, effectively, of production and non-supervisory employees. This is the rank and file blue collar worker. You want to know what's going on in the economy, if there's going to be growth and inflation, you can find it in this sector right here. And what do we know? Right after interest rates peaked in October of 2018, total payrolls on a year over year basis started to decelerate. We could already see in 2018 and 2019, the global economy was slowing. And now what? Now they're running at a negative 2.7% year-over-year rate of change. It's decelerating on its way back up, telling you that there isn't a big boom. If there was a big boom, the market was pricing in. This number should be way up here. It should be, in fact, it needs to be higher than it was in all of 2018. It needs to be really high to show you if there's growth coming. And so I want to look at a report by Jeff Snyder called COT Bund. And this is, I meant to go over this last week and I didn't have time. I think it's an excellent piece that he put out. And we're going to look at the 30-year speculative positioning data. And it's going to be a week old because it's coming out. It came out today and I don't have the tools to make the chart. So I have to wait till someone posts it. But again, we're going to see the same story from Jeff. And here he's talking about, in the first chart, the relationship between German Bunds and the S&P and the Dow. And there's a fairly decent relationship between these. Meanwhile, the German Bund rate is falling, and yet the U.S. equity markets are rising. So what he's trying to point out here is, look, there is a problem with the global economy that we're seeing in Germany, and the U.S. market is acting as if nothing is wrong. We move down into the yield curve, where we look at the difference between 10-year treasury yields and the 10-year Bund rate. And you see there's a fairly strong relationship between the two. You know, this shouldn't be a surprise. Is when you have, you know, a global synchronized economy, which we do, you should expect to see growth and contraction synchronize as well. So if we start seeing growth out of Europe and Asia, we should see that in the United States and vice versa. But we're not seeing that. And this chart shows that the German Bund yields are falling. Meanwhile, you know, treasury yields have been on this, in the short term, a rising trend and creating this sort of split between the two. Of course, the market is very excited about this, thinking, aha, this is, you know, reflation, or perhaps, you know, too much debt in the United States, and now the U.S. government must pay and yields are going to go up, up and up. You know, as Jeff points out, bond drought coming. No, it's not a bond. Well, that's what the speculators are saying. And he disagrees with them, because when you have a divergence between these two, which has happened before, you can see Bund yields decoupled back in 2018. And they went down and treasury yields went up. And that was it. This was this big reflation, big move higher in inflation. And sure enough, the peak, October of 2018. There's a reason I showed you this chart right here. October of 2018, what happens? Treasury yields fall. And what does that signify? Tightening financial conditions and total payrolls of manufacturing and non-supervisory employees starts to decelerate and then eventually contract. And you can see it all started right here. You can see it coming out of Europe. And now we're decoupling again. And of course, everyone thinks, aha, this is it. You know, the big move higher in interest rates in the United States, everyone has been predicting, because they don't have enough QE and there's too much debt, they need to pay. As if that has ever happened anywhere. As I've shown you, debt leads to lower interest rates, not higher interest rates. And what you do have is this massive speculative positioning in the futures market. Now, this chart from Jeff is a couple weeks old. And I'll try to post this in the description for those of you who haven't seen it yet. And you can see that the leverage money has been betting heavily against the 30-year long bond. Now, why are they doing it? Because they're looking at the market and saying, look, we think there's going to be this growth. Can't you see the stock market, Steve? It just can't stop going up. It's telling you all this growth is coming. Forget the economic data. There's going to be a massive boom in the U.S. economy. So how do you bet on that? If you're going to take a position, what's the easiest way to do that? You do it in the bond market. Why? Because if there is economic growth, and we've seen these arrows before, there's a reason that stock prices and treasury yields have a relationship. When stocks go up, yields tend to fall. Sometimes yields lead. But this is a relationship, because it's telling you if interest rates are rising, there is economic growth. But what are we seeing instead? We're seeing kind of the opposite, where stocks have been rising and yields, well, they really haven't been. And it's all due to the speculative positioning, because these market participants have a simple view. Hey, if there's going to be growth, I'm already crammed into equities. I've got so much money loaded into the U.S. equity market, it's insane. Well, I'll go and I'll short the bond market, because if there is growth, that is a sure deal. And as Jeff points out, you can see that since yields were last around 1.2, and they have gone up to their current level around 1.65 or thereabouts, what happened? The speculative positioning drove it down. And he points out that the last time, the prior time where it went from 1.2 to current levels, there wasn't an increase in the short position. Yields went up as if it was signifying growth. And then it went back down saying, the bond market's like, oh, nope, no growth there. Our bad. We're going to head lower. And speculators then came in and said, aha, there's some, you know, maybe mythical double bottom now in yields. And as if that the bond market doesn't understand what global growth is, when it clearly does. So we're going to short this, meaning this entire move higher in yields is largely due to speculative selling in the bond market. They're betting on growth. And that's why we look at all of this data from the H.8, you know, to the lending standards, to the economic data. We're looking at all this. We look at it for one very, very specific reason. Is there actually growth? Because if there's not, that means things are going to get worse and likely yields are headed lower, especially when it's on the back of speculators. So let's take a look and see where Jeff goes with this. And he also then points out that, hey, there's a lot of what's called open interest. There's a lot of bets on the bond market. In fact, a huge number of bets. And anytime there's a large number of bets sitting on the market, there is a regime change where you go from rates going up to rates going down. And when you think about it, here's a chart from last week from Brent Johnson of Santiago Capital. Now, I could have asked him for one today, but I didn't have a chance. So we'll see if what the new ones will probably be posted later today or tomorrow from those who have access to a Bloomberg and a nice charting system to do that. At least we'll get that from Hedgeopia for our Wednesday show. What you see is, again, bets, massive, massive bets on the bond market. And all they're doing is betting on economic growth that we know for a fact is not going to be there. We know it because the global economy, my friends, is telling us that this siege on the kingdom, this massive siege, isn't going to last. And there, and you can see it right here. Who has been driving the bond prices down? It's right here. It's all purely speculative positioning. So when we look at the charts, right, what do we see in the charts? Well, lo and behold, there's this big speculative selling position all moving down here. Short, 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 short. And why would the banks who are sitting on the opposite end of this open interest, right? This open interest is a bet on the long and the short side. It's combined. So why are the banks taking every bit of this of these bets that the speculators want to take? Well, simple. They know credit's contracting. They know bank standards, lending standards are tight because they're doing it. They know how to read the economic data and they say, hey, things aren't improving. I will take every bet, Mr. or Mrs. Speculator, you are willing to take on the short side, and I'll take it all. Because some people, like J.P. Morgan, said, well, hey, who's going to buy all this debt? Well, how about these speculators who have been speculating on the short side of the bond market for the last couple of years? And we know they've been doing it since 2018. And this is just the third year. There's short interest on across the entire curve. These are all pre-made buyers in the market. Because how do you get people to buy something in the United, you know, U.S. investors to buy something? Does it low? No. American investors buy what is high and rising. They do. Don't know why that's, look, you hear investment professionals preach buy low and sell high. Why do we have to do that? Because American investors buy high, hope it's going to go higher, and then sell at a lower point. They do it every time. And so what you have is a market that's built in buyers due to all the speculative short position. You have that. Now let's go back to the chart of TLT. And we see all this, the selling, massive selling driving this down. And the best we get is yield sitting around 1.65%. You have the biggest selling spree from what, August to now? and you get yields at 1.7%, it's because the bond market's telling you there's no growth. Now, what it also means is as prices eventually go back up, you're going to watch all these sellers get squeezed out of their positions because they're in too deep. And when you start to see volume taper off after a massive move down in selling, guess what it's telling you? It's telling you the speculators are running out of their desire to sell. And that's what's interesting to me. We see some lower volume compared to what the average is right in here. So this final move looks like right in here, there's a lot of selling going on, volume is up, and all of a sudden it dies down. And what happened today is there wasn't a big move down. There was only a slight move down and a slight move higher in yields because the sellers are tapped out. And even to make that matter worse, I'll show you a chart. I should have had this ready of the New York Federal Reserve, but we'll go and look at this real quick. Some of you wonder where this is. It's under markets and policy implementation, treasury securities, operation schedule. Tomorrow's a double day of QE. So we're going to get the long bond and we're going to get some shorter term purchases. Total of looks like about $10 billion. The reason we're going to have that is on the week of Thanksgiving. Thursday, the markets will be closed. Wednesday, there won't be a lot of trading because generally traders take Wednesday off and Friday. So there won't be a lot of action. The Fed already knows it. So they've decided there won't be any QE those days. And so they stacked it up tomorrow. Eventually, what will happen is due to the lack of global growth, my friends, there's only one direction that interest rates are headed. It's down, and we already know it. Everything tells us that, but the world is betting against us. And I say, like, subscribe, and bring it on. Because when the siege is over, you know where bond prices are headed. That's right, up. I'll see you on Wednesday, my friends. Thanks for watching. I'm not even ready to put my disclosure on. How about that? Here we go. The content of this video is provides educational information only. It's not intended to provide investment or other advice. Serials not to be construed as recognition or solicitation by a selling security financial instrument or participate in particular trading strategies. Fields prepared by Steam Van Meter and Wolpert's capacity to express a video that do not reflect the view of Atlas Financial Trading or Steam Van Meter Financial.